Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What a difference 24 hours makes around these parts if you're a Dove fan. 888-957-9570. They scored the first 13 points in the game. The largest run they go on to start a game. They're up 13-0. They're up 34-10 in the first quarter. Stephen hit four threes. They're rolling up 24. And then slowly but surely, all throughout the game, Minnesota would just chip away. But the Dubs somehow, some way, get it done down the stretch. 30 goes for 30. He goes for 31. Stephen Curry, that is, making four of his seven threes in that first quarter. And of course, that dagger in the corner, as you heard by Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. And they get a much needed win to go 2-2 on this road trip. They'll come back home for 8 of their next 9. They're now 28-20 again. They're back in the box. And you got a superstar, the franchise, Shasky, saying, everybody just shut the hell up. We got this. We trust Mike. We got this. And you know what?
Shut up.
I'll pass it to you. That's why I'm going to have a hard time if Steph Curry's ever in another uniform. I don't care. I will ride with that guy until the wheels falls off. The competitiveness, the will to win last night in Minnesota shorthanded against the T-Wolves team trying to find his way. Nah, man. I want no parts of trading Stephen Curry. That's not even in my thought process. I don't give a damn. Figure it out with 30. Do not trade this guy. He needs to be a Warrior for life because the message you sent after the game, for some of y'all chirping with the Twitter fingers, it was profound, Shasky.
God, what a game. You know, in the words of the great poet, Daryl the Guru Johnson, sports, man. Sports, man. I mean, we crushed this team the last couple of days.
Sports, man.
What was that? Give me one more time.
Sports, man.
That's literally how I felt yesterday watching that game. That first quarter was a revelation. I mean, think about this. They said a lot of things, and we all jumped and ran with it. What are we supposed to do when you have the three probably most prominent, most decorated players currently with the team, but maybe even of all time, three of the top four or five, right, of all time. And they're all talking about how, like, you don't make a crazy move. And the internet's going crazy. And this radio station's going crazy. And other people that talk about this team nationally are going crazy. And we buried them. And I think part of it was rightful. But the other part was a lot of people are running with a lot of craziness. And there's a lot of just wild rhetoric. And for them to come out and play the way they did, inspired basketball, I mean, this is why you love sports. You could not have written a better script. If you weren't shocked by the first quarter, now we'll get to the rest of the game, because you have to play all 48 minutes as we're learning, but that first quarter was incredible. 34-12. Bonte, they were getting loose balls. Guy Santos was giving you energy. TJD was giving you second chance points. I was watching Steph Curry get wide open looks. Shockingly, I watched Dennis play great defense on DiVincenzo. They made Rudy Gobert move. Wiggins looked good. It was incredible. The second unit, Guy. Buddy, Moody, Buddy. GP2, Looney, and Curry, that looked good.
Buddy Hield, when he scores at least 18 points, the Warriors are 10-0 when he scores at least 18.
That's incredible.
Now, seven of those 18-point games came in the first 9 of the season when the Warriors were rolling and, of course, got off to a 12-3 start. But I will take it. I will take the 8 points in the fourth quarter. He was stuck on 10 for a while, but he had big shots. Remember, he got fouled by DiVincenzo on the three-point line. He nailed all three free throws, so a step in the right direction for him. I thought Gary Payton II looked good in his return. GP2 was boxing out. He was active, making it difficult for Anthony Edwards. Andrew Wiggins, as you mentioned, this is why I have a hard time wanting to trade Andrew Wiggins, because he's actually one of your better players. Two-way player, 24 last night. How about him making his free throws yesterday? 10 of 12 from the free throw line. Andrew Wiggins. But Mully always talks about this being a first quarter league, How do you set the tone in the first quarter? The Warriors did that. Again, they scored the first 13 points in the game. They do this thing in Minnesota where they stand up until they score. So I'm thinking there, I'm thinking Elton John for the first 4 minutes and 27 seconds. I'm still standing. Yeah. Because they wouldn't score.
Elton John.
They couldn't score in the first 427.
I call cap
on
that.
No, that's no cap, baby. You just don't like that pull. Because I'm still standing, baby. And that's what Stephen Curry said yesterday. I've watched the movie Sing plenty of times. listen, Stephen Curry, and he told y'all, we're still standing. How about this message after the game? Twitty-its.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive. We showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better. And for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series. And we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
Here's Stephen Curry on the podium.
Anybody who thinks that I'm okay with just being an average basketball on an average basketball team is insane. Take whatever I said, I still stand on it, but it doesn't mean that you're not in a situation where you're trying to get better, make appropriate moves that help you do that. Mike knows that. We've talked about it. That's the expectation for me, trying to help lead the team where we want to go. Again, that doesn't mean that you're reckless. What people's definition of that is where I was talking about the Twitter fingers thing, like trade machines are fun, but what does that actually look like? So we're going to handle our business. Mike's going to handle his. See where we end up.
I was thinking, like, damn, I'm shocked you're talking to me. That's what I thought. I was like, damn, is Steph talking to all of us? Because we're all guilty. No, it's not just you, me, radio host. It's everyone, fans, friends. Everyone's contemplating 1,000 trades. Okay, we all are. And this is the legendary player, the greatest player in franchise history, Wilt to the side, who's telling you guys, shut up, pipe down. I got this. And we'll figure it out. It doesn't mean we're going to make the right moves, but we'll figure it out. I have no retort. What am I supposed to say to Steph Curry?
Well,
other than, okay.
Yeah, you know what?
I'll fall in line.
That kind of gave me a jolt last night when I was on the way home. It gave me a jolt to hear the franchise, the guy who was here from the bottom and built this thing from the bottom alongside this ownership group and his coaching staff. But it's Steph's show. It is Stephen Curry. He is the franchise. He's a guy that's helped make this organization a global icon. It's what's made him one of the more valuable franchises in all the sports. And what he said there was so profound. Because, listen, I was thinking on the way to the game yesterday, pregame show, leaving this show yesterday, the thought of trading Stephen Curry doesn't even enter my brain. I can't fathom it. I will go down winning 20 games with Steph Curry on my team, and I get the business aspect of it. He's the draw. I see how many kids out there at their number 30 jerseys going to the game for the first time in their lives saying, we want to see Steph. We want to see Steph. Trading him, because people started to go there, that thought started to permeate through a lot of people's brain. It's okay. We're all good. But Steph Curry said, you know what? Pipe down for a second. The deadline is February 6th. We've got time. You're 20-20. You play 8 of your next 9 games at home. You got to try to stack wins and reestablish home court at Chase Center. And I'll get to that in a second, because that's one thing that's been underreported, their lack of home dominance over the last couple seasons. We got to establish a home court advantage. We got to turn this baby back into Oracle. I'm a little disappointed in San Francisco and the way we've presented the Golden State Warriors. Not the same time. They got to give you something to cheer about. There's been a lot of lackluster efforts at home. We'll get to all that. But here's Stephen Curry say that. Leave the trade machines at home. Let Mike do what he does. Now, a lot of this rhetoric, let's be real. The conversations about not trading or trading for the future and standing pat, all that, it all started from an article from Vincent Goodwill with Draymond Green. That's where it all started. Anthony Slater joined us yesterday and told us, look, Steph Curry was replying because we asked him based off of Draymond's article. Steve Kerr basically replied based off of Draymond Green's article. That's where it all started from. And look, I took it as like, damn, Shaska, are they really going to lay this down 39 games into the season? We're not even halfway through. That's not Steph. That's not Steve. No, they're not. They're going to fight. And let's go, baby. Buckle up. You're tied with the Kings for the 9th spot. You got to move up in this play-in tournament. You got to move up in the West. Buckle your seatbelts, folks. Let's see where this thing goes.
Shocker. Something Draymond said or did is reverberating, and others have to respond to it. I mean, wow. Color me shocked. Did anybody miss Draymond last night? I'm not trying to try to turn this into some sweeping indictment on Draymond, but no, you didn't. And I'm not here to be like, Gee Santos can replace Draymond Green. It's not what I'm going to do. But what I will say to you is that just having a little heart and a little spark, it does change things for this team. And I would say this, that watching Gui Santos in the starting lineup, do I think he's some starter in the NBA? Probably not. Do I think he's a rotational piece on this team? Yeah, I actually do. I actually do. You know why? Because the guy can knock down a three. He can rebound really well. He's actually very active. He'll hustle. He'll crash. He gives you elements of what a JTA gives you, but he can actually knock down a shot. I think he's a willing passer. You saw him get a rebound in that game. Mm-hmm. Throw it up to Steph Curry. Run the full length of the court and hit a layup. And I was like, wow. And if you noticed, they actually were forced to play 5-on-5 defense. And I thought that the Warriors got great looks. Now, is that sustainable? Could he be a certain? No, probably not. Like, I'm not. But what I'm getting at is they've got to have offensive threats on the floor alongside Steph Curry. And when you want to start the game hot with Steph Curry and get a good lead and get him feeling good and get wide open looks, Dennis got wide open looks. Wiggins got wide open looks. TJD got wide open looks in the lane. And if Steph getting wide, I'm talking wide open threes to start the game. You got to have offensive threats. So as I watch that game, I go, okay, what are the sustainable things to take away? The sustainable things to take away. Youth and active and GP2 making plays down the stretch and just guys hustling, number one. Number two, some threats offensively to start the game so we get some wide open looks. I thought the shot selection was fabulous because of the spacing.
Spacing was good last night. Warriors shot 26 assists. They go 18-36 from the three-point line. I love Gui's activity. He picked up his first career NBA start yesterday. But TJD on the glass, grabbing 15 rebounds. He's grabbed at least 10 rebounds in three of his last four games. And just look at what he did on the offensive glass, giving the Warriors second and third chances in the half court. It's 9 offensive rebounds. But I also want to shout out Kevon Looney. Good. I want to shout out Kevon Looney. 6 assists last night. 4 of them had to set up a Steph Curry 3. I thought Loondog was in the right place at the right time. And that's a guy where we've seen, whether you have Draymond Green or not, because I'm not going to make this about Draymond Green. They won a game without Draymond Green yesterday as he missed his third straight game due to a back injury and illness. But Kevon Looney always stand ready. And we've seen this in pivotal times, pivotal moments over the last 3 years where he can be that one big, and he's a very willing passer. And he's looking at the basket when he's in a triple threat position. And you know what? I encourage him to shoot that mid-range jumper. I want him to shoot more of it because I see him in warm-ups. He'll make like 10 in a row shooting an elbow jumper. And I'm like, Loondog, let it fly, baby. Let's go. You can hit that shot. So I thought Looney was very important yesterday. But having the energy of GP2 with his 6 rebounds and running the floor and defending Anthony Edwards all on the full court. Look, the first quarter was great. The third quarter, not so much. They give up 20 free throw attempts as the game got hairy there. And then down the stretch, the inbounds play, which gave Minnesota the ball back. I mean, the execution down the stretch there still needs something tweaked. In clutch time situations, the Warriors, it's almost as if they forget how to play basketball.
Monte, we talk a lot about fundamentals. And you texted the group that I said, I don't think I've ever seen that. And I literally said, oh, I have. That is a CYO play. Like, I see that all the time. I ref the game. This was the other day. I ref like 5 games in a row. Third grade basketball. And I'm the referee. And to me, it's instructional. I tell every kid, take 2 steps back when you're inbounding so that you don't step over. I always say to them, you get 5 seconds to inbound so that they know because you're teaching them. They're in third grade. Gui Santos, first quarter, 5-second violation. Late in the game.
Yeah.
GP2's inbounding the ball. Now, most people don't know this. After a made basket, you can run the baseline. But on a non-made basket, you really have to kind of stay in an area. You can get called for traveling out of bounds. It's very loosely officiated, but you get about a 3-foot window. And if you watch GP2, his feet are moving on the inbound. It's a dead ball. It's not a made basket. His feet are moving, and he starts leaning forward. And he's coming too close to coming inbound. You never lean.
No, you never
lean. And then Moody's coming, and he gives him a pass that takes him out of bounds.
Yeah, in the corner, too, in the coffee corner.
And then the second rule of inbounding, which I say to every kid, get into the play. So you inbound the ball. You have to establish both feet coming into the play. And they failed to do that because Moody has to throw it right back to him in a hot potato fashion. It was a masterclass in why, in the grammar school level, in the high school level, you work on the literal fundamentals and the logistics of inbounding the ball. Never did I think that the Golden State Warriors would have to worry about it.
That's why
I think we have to. Then, let me go further, B. A made basket, and Steph Curry takes the ball out of bounds. And I'm saying to myself, guys, of all the guys on the floor right now,
Curry taking the ball out, throws it to GP2. He gets fouled, and he splits the free throws. But the Warriors come up with the key offensive rebound there from Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, my God.
They come up with the key offensive rebounds. Never easy. Oh, it's just the way the season's going to go by.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a microcosm of what the season has played out with. And even Steph, when he threw the ball to GP2, he was like, ah! But he had no choice because you got to get the ball in. Yes. So, you know what? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. They got outscored in every single quarter after the first quarter as that 24-point lead dwindled. But you know what? Minnesota was never able to take a lead. Now it's a wire-to-wire win for the Golden State Warriors. And they end their road trip on a good note. They fly back to the Bay Area. I believe they flew back last night. They get ready for the Washington Wizards on Saturday. And here we go until the deadline, February 6th, noon Pacific time. What are the Warriors going to do? Are they going to work the margins? What is Don Levy going to do to help this team try to move up in the Western Conference? Because when you do look at the West, and I brought it up tongue-in-cheek yesterday, because they were three games behind the Clippers in the loss column. They were. Those are the facts. Well, right now, they're three games behind the Clippers in the loss column for the number five spot.
For the number five spot. And then what are they three in the other direction, just out of curiosity?
They're six the other direction, the Portland Trail Blazers. But Sacramento.
No. I'm saying, like, if the Warriors lose the next.
Oh, well, yeah, they'll be out the box. They'll be out the box.
The margins are thin.
I'm thinking positive this morning, man. Tunnel vision on.
There's
on
a lot of
just
teams.
A lane of positivity because Stephen Curry looked at the camera and said, put the Twitter fingers down and just, here, I can't get enough of this quote.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive. We showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better. And for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series. And we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
That message from the franchise, looking directly in the camera. And I know I don't do the trade machine thing. And you know me, I have a hard time even discussing the conversation. Or if you flooded out there about trading Steph or doing this or doing that. Him looking at that camera said, shut the hell up. We've done this before. We got this. Now, some of it is the Warriors put this on themselves with some of the rhetoric. But I'm glad they cleaned it up because I could only imagine Joe Lacob listening to the radio yesterday saying, what the hell are we talking about? White flag, 39 games in. What? Huh? What's going on here? We play for keeps. We got a championship mindset in this building. I'm glad Steph Curry calmed the waters for at least 24 hours. At least 24 hours. Great, I don't know what I would have done if they lost that game.
If I would have polled Warrior fans, what do you think the percentage of people who actually thought, yep, we're winning this one, going into that game?
Boy,
less than 5%.
Which is crazy because they had beat the T-Wolves two straight times.
Well, I mean, Julius Randle. Just what a horrible trade.
He's a tough watch.
The way that they, you know what? Let's talk about the other side.
All right. We'll talk.